This is Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. Time for our weekly check-in with Detroit News Business columnist Daniel Howes, who's with us now from the porch of the Grand Hotel at the Mackinac Policy Conference. Daniel, let's get right to Governor Snyder in full RPA mode on Mackinac. Does that relentless positive action vibe he's giving off feel different this year than at last year's conference?
Oh, I do think it is very different. I mean, you get a sense among folks here that the governor is somewhat weakened and trying to find his way back. The Flint water crisis has really laid low his administration. And I think if you chart it back, they started to lose focus, I think, right after the reelection in early 2015. And then, of course, he hurt his Achilles heel. And there was talk of him running for president. And I think that began a fairly longer period of distraction that was worsened by the revelations in Flint.
I want to get your thoughts on what the governor is saying as he moves through crowds, as he speaks to people up on Mackinac, and how it squares with the big problems that are still hanging out there, water and transportation and schools, and including not limited to Detroit public schools and municipal funding and all of that. How does it square with those problems?
Well, look, this is a guy who spent his first term being positive and being relentlessly positive. And I think he's now at a point where he doesn't have the option to all of a sudden become Eeyore, as he accused us of being, you know, the sad sack pessimist from Winnie the Pooh lore. This is what he needs to do. And, you know, yesterday he opened the conference basically decrying the Eeyores in the media and then going on to say, you need to be positive. There's a lot of good things going on in this state, and cited a lot of economic statistics, all of which are true. I mean, particularly when looked at in relief from 2008 and 2009 and early 2010. He's right about that. But that said, there are some major public policy challenges that are proving very difficult to deliver, Flint being at the top of the list, but I think Detroit Public Schools being another one. He cannot bring his own party around to get this deal done. This is a very unsavory vote for a lot of Republicans in an election year, a lot of whom have to answer to constituents who, frankly, don't give a damn about Detroit and Detroit public schools, and they've got their own issues in their own school districts. And I think that's parochial politics, and that's understandable, but that's life in the big leagues politically.
And when we think of what happened and what he was able to do to help craft the grand bargain and get Detroit out of bankruptcy, mm-hmm. Doesn't seem to be coming together the way it should be for all of these other big, big issues.
No, I think when you look back, 2013 was a seminal year in Michigan and Detroit when you got alignment on the Detroit bankruptcy. They got through that much faster than anybody expected. I've been covering these issues since the early to mid-90s all over the state and other parts of the world in Michigan-related issues, and I'd never seen alignment like I saw at that point. Now you're starting to see the cracks again over the same issues: water, transit, Detroit schools, who's going to pay, who's going to benefit, who doesn't want to pay. And a lot of these are local parochial arguments, and local officials are standing up for their own constituents. And that's just the way it works. And there, oftentimes there's not an incentive for people to be regional. It may make sense to you and I and people who are not elected officials, and it may make sense to business leaders who also are not elected officials, but to people who are building careers in a lot of cases around local politics, it can be very dicey to be regional.
But as you quote John Rakolta, the chairman of Walbridge, in your column today, it's such a good point. You need a bipartisan referee. Where is one?
There isn't one, and I think the governor played that role in the Detroit bankruptcy in more ways than people gave him credit for. You know, they could have been taking a much tougher line. Emergency manager Kevin Orr could have taken a much tougher line against the unions in the city of Detroit, and he chose not to do that. He could have taken a much tougher line against the city council members and cut their pay or abolish their pay, and he chose not to do that. Right now, we don't really have that kind of referee. The governor had played that role, but I think he's been somewhat weakened, and he can't control his own party. And I think that would help, being a referee, if he could get the Republicans to do some things he wants to do and present a compromise that the Democrats support, like, for example, on Detroit public schools. But we're not quite there yet. I think he's working it this week. I just, from the porch of the Grand Hotel, I just saw him a few minutes ago having a discussion with Senate Majority Leader Arlen Meekhoff. Clearly, they're talking about these issues. They're trying to get this thing delivered. But the real issue is, of course, the House.
Yes. Still in session, still trying to come to some agreement. Doubling back to the relentless positive action offensive, tell us a little about the pocket cards the governor is handing out. There's a couple of them.
Yeah, the Detroit News did our annual interview with the governor yesterday morning, and we started talking, and there were a couple of piles of cards on the table, and one of us asked him about them, and he said, "Here," and he kind of threw them out to the table, and there are two cards. One is about, he's calling it Michigan's Greatest Hits, and it's basically a recitation of economic statistics showing what has happened in Michigan while he's been governor. Now, it's always important to note that a lot of this, or some of this at least, is owing to the rebound in the auto industry and the creation of a lot of jobs and investment. General Motors itself has invested $9 billion in Michigan since 2009 and created tens of thousands of jobs. The other card is really what they're doing in Flint, and essentially trying to make the case that we are accomplishing things in Flint. There's some frustration, I think, among the governor's people that they get criticized, for example, for not replacing lead pipes in Flint faster. But in fact, the division of responsibility is that the state has to provide the funding, which they've done, and Flint and its people have to execute the exchanges. And they're not doing it, or at least not doing it at a pace that a lot of people expect.
I'm interested in your thoughts. He's commenting the reports of my demise are overblown, talking about you reporters as Eeyore, handing out the pocket cards. How do you think it's going to play with everybody who's not at Mackinac?
I think in general we live in an age where there's a lot of political cynicism. I mean, all you have to do is look at the presidential campaign where you've got the two major parties fielding the weakest candidates in our lifetimes probably, and people are very cynical about it. And I think they'll be cynical about this as well, unfortunately. The governor and his people are swimming against a tide of social media where everybody who wants a voice can have a voice, and frankly, and oftentimes they voice those voices. So I don't know to what extent he's going to get traction now. Having said that, among decision makers, I think people are to some extent willing to give him the benefit of the doubt. I had an unrelated conversation with someone up here about some other kinds of meetings for fundraising for Flint that the governor is doing. And this person told me that the potential funders are not turning down meetings with the governor of Michigan. So you're not even close to the point where people are saying, you know, this guy is irrelevant. I don't think anybody would say he's irrelevant, but I think he is trying to get his feet back under him, and his team's trying to help him do that.
The governor is delivering the keynote speech this afternoon at Mackinac, correct? What are you going to listen for?
I'm going to listen for a little bit more pushback, frankly, and probably a little bit more relentless positive action. And I wrote a column today and talking about, is he raising the question about whether the people of Michigan are losing confidence in him? And he, of course, told us no, that he didn't think they were. But I think there are some issues, and people are wondering who that referee is and are going to be, because they expect him to be that referee. And I'd had some other conversations with some auto CEOs who said that very thing when it came to getting Michigan aligned for the next generation of mobility, is that we need somebody that kind of convenes all the interest groups and says, hey, this is the direction we need to go, and we can't dawdle because this stuff is moving very quickly. And so I think the quicker the governor can kind of get through this phase and maybe get back to cruising altitude, it'll probably be better for everybody.
Detroit News business columnist Daniel Howes checking in from the policy conference on Mackinac Island. Daniel, as always, thank you so much.
Thank you.